Chuck Chad Technorama for Sunday, August 14th, 2005.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration.
Hello and welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama, the gift that keeps on giving. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is one of the people who got me interested in this whole crazy podcasting thing, Kevin Devon from In the Trenches.
Oh, sure. Blame it all on me.
You are to blame, man. I was talking back to your podcast as one of the first ones. It's crazy.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Ah, too bad for a Sunday. Craig, back to work tomorrow.
Kevin is filling in for Craig, so if I accidentally say Craig a couple of times, just slap me. Coming up in tonight's show, we have... we talk a little bit about Ajax, which is that nice technology that makes web applications work a lot more like desktop applications. We have Stephen Ely. He reviews Todd Cochran's podcasting book. And we have... thanks to Kevin, lots of interesting news from around the net on tech, movies, gadgets, and more. But first, we have a few words from one of our many sponsors.
If you joined our first go-to live event at techpodcast.com, you will agree that everyone had a great time. We will be having more live events with GoToMeeting again and again. We will be demonstrating websites, software, projects, and all sorts of solutions in our next event. GoToMeeting allowed us to share our presenter screen seamlessly. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to gotomeetings.com/techpodcast. You'll love what you see.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Friday, my world was turned upside down at work.
You alluded a little bit to that on the list, but that you left it there. You left everybody hanging. So what's going on?
What's going on is kind of like a shotgun wedding. I had a shotgun promotion.
Hey, those are fun.
Well, it was the lesser of three evils. I had three choices. The president of our division of the company, I work for a company that does engineering and manufacturing, and I work for the engineering side of the house. And the president of engineering came down and said, "This project is not moving along fast enough. We're doing a whole business process, business project sweep, and we're taking out our accounting and our purchasing and a lot of the business applications and using the same stuff that manufacturing is using. They're using JD Edwards, and we're putting it in." He said, "I don't like the way that this JD Edwards program is going. It's not moving fast enough." So he turned up the heat to about 8 million degrees Kelvin and wanted somebody working full-time on it for the next year. My boss said, "Well, what I really need is a clone of me." Long story short, he sat down his two senior IT people, me and my coworker Scott, and said, "One of us three is going to do this project full-time. The other two are going to do my job and fill in for what falls out." And it really, to a credit to him, he took full blame because he hadn't been giving the project enough attention. And I started listening and I thought, I've got three options here. One is step up and take the PM job. Two is collect the fallout if Scott steps up and takes it, because we both of us knew that doing Bob's job wasn't reality. And the third was quit and go to another company. But then I started thinking about it. I said, quit and go to another company, you may not land in a better position. You may wind up in a worse opportunity.
That's right.
So I said, we aired our concerns. It was very open and honest, and all the cards were on the table. We've all been friends for 15, actually, I've known Scott for over 20 years. So we were very candid, and Bob was very perceptive at reading our body language and attempted poker faces. And I said, you know, I'll give it a shot. And inside of a day, we reworked all of our project schedules. Only one had to be pushed out. But I am now a project manager, which I had sort of been in the past, but it was met with limited success. I get the feeling this will be met with better success, because I've got Bob as a tutor this time, and this is a dedicated thing. This has to work. It's not an option.
Well, that's a good position to be in my opinion. I mean, I've always enjoyed project management type stuff, you know, leading projects, running, even if I was just the technical lead or something like that. Somewhere up in that region, I've always had a lot of fun in that area.
The beauty of this is I only have one project.
Yeah, see, you can't beat that.
This is all I've got to work on. I mean, I don't even have
this
to go to most of the
life.
Meetings. Exactly. I no longer have to do the break fix work that come in through issue requests. I no longer have to do the operations
task.
That
alone. That alone. Jeez.
Unless the building is burning down and I'm the only person who can stop it, that's the only time I have to stop this project.
And then if it's for the CEO, of course.
Right. Yeah, if the CEO comes down with his laptop, I'm sorry, Dean. You just got to...
I'm on this project. You're just going to have to wait, mister.
So that's... It's good news, it's bad news, it's confusing news, it's scary news, but... you know, it's going to be interesting. If nothing else,
it'll
be good experience. It'll look good on a resume somewhere.
Exactly. You'll do fine. You'll be great.
Well, I appreciate your vote of confidence. We have some listener feedback. We've been getting... It's really weird. This is probably the same for your show. It comes in waves. You either get a ton of it or you get none of it.
Yep. Feature famine.
It's pretty much famine this week. We did get one nice, this is sort of an attaboy award from Victor Cajiao, the gentleman who just did our voiceover for the previous commercial. Victor comes to us with this.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. It's Victor Cajiao, typical PC user, and no, I'm not leaving just another infomercial for my show. I'm leaving you a message at 6:24 in the morning, California time. Tell you how much I enjoy listening to Chuck Chat and having it be a part of my long drive in Southern California traffic. Really, you guys, it's great to hear your show. I was just listening to the segment that you did on the astronaut doing the first podcast in space, and just generally thought to myself that you guys really got it together. I love listening to the podcast. So, yes, I'm calling in as a fan, not just as a podcaster. Keep at it because I really enjoy it. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Victor. That was very... It's nice to have those every once in a while.
Yeah. They kind of tripped me out there for a second, because when you started playing, it sounded like he was waiting for you or Craig to respond.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. Yeah, Victor, go ahead. We've got an astronaut doing a podcast. I'm waiting for a scuba diver to do a podcast. This is my first podcast. Welcome to the scuba cast. Oh. Well, if you want to get in touch with us like Victor did, he got a hold of us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428, or there's always good old email, chuck@chuckchat.com. Hey, if you want to get a hold of Kevin, it's also kevin.devin@gmail.com. And if you're looking for Craig, he's at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. If you're driving and you can't write all that down, put it on pause, and we'll tell you again at the end of the show, so when you get to work, you can write it down then. It's also in the show notes and all over the website. Not that we're begging for all that stuff. Go ahead.
It seems like it grows every week. It's like, there's something else to add. You can, golly. Yeah.
We got Skype. We got Skype answering machine. We got Gizmo. We've got...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just it. It's like,
go to the website. You'll find it all there.
We've even got a V card to make it simple. Just download that. On to the news. Speaking of podcasting now, the White House is now podcasting. This is the actual presidential weekly address. And I downloaded the first one, or actually the latest one, and the text is written there as well. So I'm not sure why they wrote the transcript, maybe to make sure he wasn't lying or something. But a politician lying is, well, there's a joke there somewhere. How can you tell if a politician is lying? His lips are moving!
Don't all of their audio get transcribed?
All of it does. They must. Because I started reading, I started glancing over the text going, this week I met in Texas and blah, blah, blah. And then I listened to it and I said, that's exactly what the text just said.
He's reading this, isn't he?
Now, I kind of like this because I'm a little, what do you call it? I'm politically inept sometimes, I feel like. I mean, I vote in the major elections. I usually don't vote in too many of the locals. But
inept or inactive?
Inactive. Thank you. But I don't know a lot of what the issues are. So if more politicians and political candidates would do this, I could get them on a podcast instead of scanning through the papers and waiting for the debates to show up on TV and all that kind of hoo-ha. Let's record some of this stuff.
All right. Now, wait a minute. You got to come in here. Now, are you telling me that you would give up a tech podcast for a political podcast?
Depends whose tech podcast.
I just find more tech personally.
Oh, I wouldn't give it all up. I mean, I still got to keep on top of the latest tech news. Now, you found a couple things on Josh Cooper's blog.
Yeah, Josh Cooper. I ended up going to his blog a lot. You know, I've chit-chatted with him quite a bit over time, and you know, I've always read his weblog, but he always comes up with some really cool links, and I use a lot in my show. And one that he came up with that really tripped me out was, it's not geeky at all, but it's just kind of weird and cool. But it's just of this praying mantis who had caught a hummingbird and was eating it, a praying mantis eating a hummingbird.
And there's pictures on there, too. This thing is huge. I mean, hummingbirds, at least the ruby-throated one, is probably, what, about 2, maybe 3 inches long?
Yeah, they're little bitty guys. I mean,
this praying mantis was as big as the bird!
It just trips me out, you know. I never thought that they were that fast, you know, because those little hummingbirds, those are fast little dudes, you know. And
yeah,
to see one having been skewered by a praying mantis, kind of like, whoa, now that's kind of cool.
That reminds me of the time we were at my mother-in-law's house. She lives on this little pond, and they call it a bayou, and a big snapping turtle. I mean, huge thing. The shell must have been about 14 and 16 inches in diameter. It had caught and eat a seagull.
Seagull
was just puttering around on the surface, and this thing came up and went, whoomph! But he didn't let it go. He was hanging on to like an hour and a half for this poor seagull to bleed to death.
Wow.
I got it on videotape. It was very Marlon Perkins.
I remember being in Texas. You know, they used to have, we used to call them leatherbacks. They were a soft-shelled turtle. But, man, those were the meanest dudes, and they were always in the water. So you'd catch one on your line every once in a while, and you'd bring him to surface. I never got one on land, but I didn't want them because, as I understood, they were a mean son of a gun.
Back to the tech. You also found something. LeapFrog has a new device.
Yeah, this one came from Gizmodo, and the links will be in the show notes. But it looks like LeapFrog, the makers, you know, little kids learning activity things, they're getting into the cell phone market. They're working with, I guess it's Infora, to produce what's called a Tech Talk parental controlled cell phone for kids, targeted at kids 6 and up. Now, it's, you know, if anybody else has been into these cell phones, you know, at least for kids and such, you've probably already seen the Firefly, but it's very similar to it, you know, and what they're looking at is selling this in prepackaged minutes, you know, chunks of 100 minutes for $25, and then parents can choose to monitor or whatever with their kids. So it looked pretty interesting, you know, especially today's, you know, trying to keep in contact with your kids. You know, I thought that was kind of an interesting contraption, but you know, when I started looking at it, got closer into it, it was like 100 minutes for $25. I was like, oh, that's not too bad. And I started thinking of breaking it down. I was like, whoa, that's 25 cents a minute. Now I would hope that with this, it gives parents the ability just to make one-way calls or only calls coming from the cell phone to designated numbers that are controlled, which is the way I believe it works. But I don't want my kid talking to their buddies, you know, at 25 cents a minute.
Right, right. Now, the interesting thing is it doesn't have a keypad. It looks almost like one of those
gigapet
things. It's just this little round thing, and you use it when you hook it up to the computer. I assume it's USB, but I didn't get that out of the article. The parents will tell what numbers go on this phone and what they can call. So if they say, you're only going to call me, mom, my cell phone, and my work number, that's it. That's what the cell phone is for. That makes sense.
Well, apparently you can control, too, the number of minutes that you allocate towards this phone, which is kind of neat because, you know, if the kid's been good, then you can give them more cell phone minutes, apparently.
I told my daughter about it. My 9-year-old said, when can I get one?
Yeah.
I said, it comes out next week. We're going to take a look at it, see if it catches on and see if those rates come down a little bit.
Well, not too bad for a $100 phone.
No. It looked like a decent device.
Wait a minute. This isn't my show. This is Chuck Chat with Chuck Tomasi.
I couldn't resist. I had to have that one this week. There are surprises left in this show. Oh, now, Kevin, I noticed that your Skype picture looks awful familiar. You're dressed up as Milton from Office Space.
Yeah, that was for Halloween, this last Halloween.
And you also found an article on Dig about Office Space.
Yeah, apparently coming up here this fall, they're going to be releasing a special edition DVD for Office Space, which I thought was really kind of cool because, you know, heck, everybody, I think, at least in the U.S., I've heard some people in the U.K. and abroad in Belgium haven't, you know, weren't familiar with Office Space, especially after seeing my picture, and they're like, they kind of got worried. They're like, whoa, what's happening? Like, no, you got to go rent the movie, you got to go check it out. But apparently November 1st is when it's supposed to hit the stores, and that'll be running right about $20 is what I understand, so I will be definitely first in line on that one, that's for sure.
I think they need... I got my copy for Christmas last year. I think they need an updated version, because that movie, the guy was working on the Y2K problem, but now that they've come out with the time zone change thing, the daylight savings thing, we're going to have that same scenario over. I think they could make another movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever happened to Peter? What happened to Lawrence? Hey, dude! Turn on Channel 39!
He went to Drew Carey.
Now, we got a couple articles that go here together very well. One about Automator, which is the new scripting tool within Tiger.
George Starcher, my co-host, turned me on to that one. And I unfortunately can't do much with it because I don't have Tiger yet, because Automator apparently is part of Tiger. But there was a nifty site that he pointed me at called automatorworld.com that has a bunch of different scripts and such for Automator that comes within Tiger. So any Apple users, I think, might find that of interest. So one of the things he's doing, you know, in our last show, we mentioned that, you know, he and I have set up this VPN between our two networks. And so we push data around back and forth between our networks, you know, our servers and such. And so when he finds something, he's got it now automated. He's got an Automator setup so where he can just take and drag it or launch it, and it automatically sends it right to my box. So
that's pretty cool
with that one.
AutomatorWorld.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. That sounds interesting because that's one of the things that Craig and I have talked about before. We're trying to get another listener in on doing something about AppleScript. I'd really like to get into that. It seems a little bit obfuscated. It reads real easy, but to get the syntax down right would be a bit of a challenge. So I'm hoping Automator will sort of hide some of that black magic.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I've been focusing on lately is a little bit of AppleScript and stuff, and wanting to focus more on that. Just kind of get a feel for it more and more, because it's sad, but here in the last well, to be honest, since George got his Mac, it has caused me to look at my Mac a little bit deeper and everything. And I've done more in the last 2-3 weeks with my Mac than I've done in the past, 2 years since I've had the silly thing. So I'm kind of getting jazzed about my tiring Mac that's sitting here.
it's a nice machine. I mean, it's got the, well, we won't get all Mac-y on this show right now, but everybody knows my feelings on it. There's cool stuff to be had with these machines. Now, on a similar note, you found an Apple script that adds iTunes track info to Evocam.
Yeah, as you guys can see on the webcams that Chuck and Craig have set up, and as well as George and myself, for our websites, we're using an application called Evocam. And if I went into the Evocam forums that they have and started searching around, because I think it was George who mentioned it to me, he wanted to know how to get the iTunes track, if you happen to be playing anything, how to get it listed, much like you see in some of the blogs. They'll list, you know, what they happen to be listening to at that time when they make that post. And so that's what we were looking for, and we found one there in their forums, and we started hacking around with it, and lo and behold, bam, it works. So got it plugged in there. Very, very straightforward process. It's really not that difficult, but
well, for most of us.
You just got a space, that's all.
Here's a tip to you. If you read the forum information, don't forget, there's no space between iTunes and track. That was my critical flaw. I just couldn't get that thing working.
But we'll put in the show notes. We'll put the actual code to implement that. Now, this is not anything that I wrote. This is something I borrowed. I stole from the Evocam forums, so the attribution actually goes there, but it's kind of neat. I mean, I don't know, it's kind of like webcams to me go in a phase. You know, they come up popular once for a while, or hey, this is kind of neat, look what we can do, and then okay, tired of that, let's move on.
Well, it's kind of fun to do while podcasting. It's neat to watch how somebody operates. I mean, more podcasters are starting to get them, and it's really kind of a fun thing with that.
That's just it. I mean, it helps you put a face to the voice. I mean, and that, especially with podcasting, that's what I'm finding is neat. I'm seeing more and more of my listeners actually picking them up as well, and now starting to see, oh, that's what he looks like. Oh, that's cool.
I was kind of shocked when I saw what George Starcher looked like today.
It is shocking, isn't it?
I have never made any attempt to hide my facade, but that's another story. Some people should be hidden.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
How long you go?
Hello, Leo! We'll drag this out to about 30 or 40 minutes like we usually do. We're making pretty good time, though. We are now at our Ajax story. Ajax, for those of you who don't know, is a technology that allows PHP programs. I think it also works with Ruby, but somebody's going to correct me on that if it doesn't. That might be Ruby on Rails, but similar technology using XML HTTP request technology. Ajax lets a web application work more like a desktop application. It doesn't have to refresh the page every time you click on a link or want a query. It can actually do sort of background queries. I've seen my first example of this from one of my coworkers. We recently put into place an operations calendar of scheduled events. Once a month, thou shalt go defrag the critical servers. And here is a list of the critical servers. Well, on the top, he's got a list of all these tasks and actions and things. And as you highlight them, it will pull them up. It'll pull up the details on the bottom. But it doesn't have to do this massive suck all ye whole database into before it displays anything. It's actually doing these dynamically. And when you make changes and save them, then it posts the query back out. But it's very dynamic and it works very fast, very slick. You can switch between the tabs, and there's a refresh if you want to reread the whole bloody query. But a recent article pointed out that there is a potential flaw in Ajax, that it can actually do key logging. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Well, we're live if the browser wants to cooperate quickly. This is an article from devx.com, and here it comes. You know, why do these things always go really slow when you're trying to do a show? It says, Every nerd loves the XML HTTP request. It supplies the functionality of which web programmers' dreams are made. Well, besides girls. Web applications start behaving like desktop applications. Things work as they're supposed to, freeing the mum and dad end users, this must be a British article, from needing to know anything about servers, clients, postbacks, and submit buttons. Submit? Submit to what? Well, there's it goes on telling about what AJAX is, XML HTTP request, and it says that there's a potential for a key logging issue, a security flaw. Well, Craig Stepp, being on vacation, being the nerd he is, couldn't let that alone. And he sent back an email first and said, I rank that as FUD, which stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I read this article this morning and just don't know about that. You know, this might be fun to do in our best Craig impersonation. We'll leave that one alone this time.
You're not expecting me to, are you?
Come on, Kevin, step up to the plate. He said, sure, you can do key logging, but not for your whole computer. It is just for the page that you're using. I don't know if I exactly buy all what this guy is saying, at least not putting it up to a security risk per se. Next, people will be saying that Dell puts key loggers on its machines by default.
They do?
Well, we've been saying that for months. Well, Craig couldn't leave that alone. He had to record an audio clip. I suspect he did this on his PDA. But then he sends us back this.
Yeah, sure, I'll take a beer. Hey, guys, I just wanted to weigh in on this AJAX security thing. I wanted to say, you know, I think the biggest concern is who would be using this. And most of the time, people, somebody's trying to keylog all your strokes, but probably a phishing site. So you should always be mindful of where you're going to begin with. So I think that's always good advice. You know, too, you can always view the source and see what it's doing. So it's not really that secretive. And there's other tools that are a little more malicious in how they keylog your stuff. So I think that's probably my biggest concern is phishing attempts. So anyway, I don't think AJAX itself is inherently bad. But there you go. Y'all have a good one, and I'll see you. Must resume vacation activities. I'll be thinking about you guys while I'm gone. Right. Bye.
Craig.
God. On vacation, even. What is wrong with the man?
He said, I'm stealing Wi-Fi.
Hey, he said not to tell on it now.
I didn't say where he's getting it from.
Well, that's a good point.
Teach those people to lock down their security systems. Thanks for the clip, Craig. We appreciate it. We're thinking about you. We miss you. And like hell, you're not thinking about us. What are they doing to my show? We appreciate it. So if you, the careful listener, has any information about AJAX, you know, it's kind of like BitTorrent. You could say BitTorrent is... There's those things flying around going, oh, BitTorrent is spreading viruses. No, it's not. This is up the similar vein. That's what my gut feeling tells me. All right. Geek Library this week, we have Todd Cochran's podcasting, the do-it-yourself guide. Stephen Ely from the Escape Pod podcast, I believe that was his show, has written an article on Slashdot about this book. I won a copy of this book from Todd. He didn't autograph it for me, though. I'm going to have to get that from him. And my thought was, as soon as I started reading this, I would pick out any flaws, errors, technical errors, maybe updates that have been done since the book was finalized in April. It was released in early June. And I would get him changes so that he could come out with a new and improved second edition. Because technology is going to change, prices are going to change, new products will come out. Because due to the timeline, iTunes came out later that month, and that's no fault of his. Obviously, that was one of the technologies that changed. Stephen Ely's article goes on to highlight both the good and the bad. We will put a link to this article in the show notes. And it's the tone of it is about 75% critical. Now, you have to realize the context this is in. Stephen is a professional writer. Todd is not. Todd writes like his podcast sounds or like his blog articles. Very informal, very, you know, sitting with you at lunch and jabbering. Not the spelling mistakes were obviously taken care of, but there were a lot of grammatical and sometimes even contradictory statements that were inadvertently missed, and I'm not sure how the editors let that slide. But Stephen is, like I said, is a professional writer. It'd be like Dan Rather coming to me and talking to me about my podcast, going, your delivery style sucks, man. you don't get it. So that's sort of the tiers that these guys are on. But in general, I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say I agree with basically most of what Stephen wrote about. There are good sections, things about the leveling and the technical details. But there are some sections that it's a book on podcasting. If you're learning how to make a podcast, why have an entire section in there on how to get a podcast? You probably already got it and know what it is and have gone through that. And maybe there's a little information in there about how does Doppler work against iPod, or, well, now that iTunes is out, some of that's kind of a wash anyway. But
Yeah, but.
yeah, this is why I got Kevin on the show.
I don't need to defend Todd, and I'm not going to defend Todd, but I have some reservations on that. I think that section. Now, granted, I have not read the book yet. I can, knowing Todd's writing style, I can picture some of these errors where they've come through and where they've been mentioned. I can't really comment on those. But on so far as like how to get a podcast, you know, I think that, like you're saying, there's multiple ways to, you know, different tools to use. And by looking at them, read them in a book, you might find a tool in there that you've never heard of or that might work better for you. But, you know, you weren't privy to that information, and I think that's where that comes in. Yeah, for the most part, right now, everything is most podcasting and folks consuming them, they have a very techie spin on them. You know, there's a lot of geeky, and I don't mean everyone's a geek, but they're a lot more technically inclined, those who are tuning in at this moment. Now, iTunes, of course, is making that simpler for anybody and everybody, but, you know, those folks, you know, you figure those people with iTunes, they may never even know what Doppler or iPod or Lemon is without having read that book, if they're coming in via iTunes. They may not need to, you know, using iTunes, because it does make it very simple. But I think there's a lot of good information there to be had, and you just, it's hard to make, I think those are guided or designed to be more for a beginning listener or beginning podcaster is what I believe. And my reservations on all of it is the targeted crowd where I think the book went and where this was reported. You know, this was not meant for a Slashdot crowd, in my opinion. But, you know, that's where it ended up and where it came out, you know. So,
a good rebuttal. I will take that and go on to our next sponsor.
Get your own piece of the internet and save $5 along the way. Shop at GoDaddy.com and get a new domain name, transfer, or renewal for just $3.99 with each and every new domain product you buy. Choose from hosting, website builders, email accounts, and much more. Plus, take an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more simply by entering TECH1, that's TECH1, as your source code. So visit GoDaddy.com and save big.
It's Sunday night, and as always, we will have our Sunday night featured techpodcast.com site of the night. This week, it's the web hosting show. Need help hosting? Let's try that again. Need help? Need web hosting help? Need podcasting help? Need articulation help? Let the web hosting show be your guide with all the largest... I am really massacring this.
Remember, you're live. You don't edit.
And I'm sure this will go well, too. With all of the latest hosting headlines, tips, and tricks of the week, you are bound to learn more about the wild and wacky world of web hosting. Throw in some web hosting views and opinions, and you have yourself a podcast filled with information and entertainment. Listen to the web hosting show every Monday at http://www.webhostingshow.com. Who the heck puts in the protocol anymore? Go.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
Geek Thoughts.
Okay, let's write the SQL statement. Select all from users where clue is greater than 1. Results 0.
I laugh every time I hear that. It's only funny if you're an SQL geek. I'm done. You done?
Hey, I want to say something about the podcast expo and what is it? Portable Media Expo?
Yes.
I tell you, that is one thing I am looking so forward to. I have not looked forward to an event like that in so long. It's funny.
I am looking forward to it as well. I'm just questioning when we're going to actually get anything done. Everybody's going to be going around recording everything. Sticking eye rivers in people's faces. Come on. Quick, give me a sweeper.
Just think of what's going to happen on the internet the day after the day of. You know, it's just going to be massive uploads, you know. But that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be. When are we going to get any sleep?
Sleep? Who needs sleep?
Catch it on the plane ride back.
Yeah.
It's one time I'm glad I have a longer plane ride than you. If you want to get a hold of me on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428, and we won't tell you what it is in binary this time. Email is chuck@chuckchat.com, Craig is still keyboardmonkey@gmail.com, and Kevin is kevin.devin@gmail.com. If you like his services, don't forget to patronize him at kevindevin.com and visit his In the Trenches podcast. Thank you, and as always, we appreciate your listening. Any parting words of wisdom?
Sure. Don't eat yellow snow.
Come on. It says right here, you can tune a file system, but you can't tune a fish.
Oh, that one.
Don't forget to stop by the website, read all the articles, listen to the other podcasts I do called Chuck Chat Freestyle, and forums and swag and all that good stuff. Until next time, binary high five.
101.
Thank you. Kevin, that was painful.